Off the Ball. GAA.
Everybody can't score. You know, some people have jobs to do.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
Good evening and welcome along to Thursday Nights Off the Ball. Owen here with you until 10 o'clock this evening. And coming up tonight, we've got a bumper Leinster special for you because we're going to get Rob Kearney and Devon Toner into studio alongside Brian O'Driscoll from 7:30. They have 11 Champions Cup medals between them. Maybe up for debate, but we did confirm that Rob Kearney does indeed have 4 despite his injury in the 2011 season. So O'Driscoll trailing the two lads on 3 medals. Toner as well also has 4. We're also going to be joined and we're going to hear from Shane Jennings and from Eason Asewa in that piece as well. Eason Asewa was on Off the Ball Breakfast with Adrian this morning. Between 9 and 10 then tonight, the football show at Dion Fanning is coming your way. We'll be talking through the week that was for Arsenal Football Club and for Liverpool, who continues to be a pretty big story as we edge towards the very end of this Premier League campaign. Our number is 087-9180-180 if you want to send us a WhatsApp message. Will O'Callaghan is back on Newsround duty. Will, a very good evening to you.
Evening to you, Owen.
And Dion Fanning is here. How are you doing, Dion?
Good, Owen. How are you?
All good. You were fresh from the 3 Arena last night, Paul Simon's last ever Dublin show.
Well,
you were there to see it.
I was. Yeah, well, maybe be back. Who knows? Yeah.
Sorry, I thought I read that somewhere. Well, by the way, I'm not casting aspersions on the 84-year-old.
It was extraordinary. It was really spiritual experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, it was beautiful, and I'm a huge Paul Simon fan. Anyway, I was talking to someone about this today, and I've kind of came late to it because I think sometimes people, the Simon and Garfunkel stuff, always is great, but it's a little bit kind of, you know, twee at this stage, maybe you've heard it, but then when you get into a lot of his albums in the 70s and stuff, it's just incredible. And he played, the songs he played last night were just such a great range. You know, he played his new or his recent album all the way through to begin with, and that's a really beautiful album, and then just a great spread of songs and extraordinary band. And then Martin Hayes came on stage to play on the Boxer with him.
Right.
And that was, it was just mind-blowing.
And does he have a sort of resentment for the Simon and Garfunkel stuff, or does he embrace it?
No, he didn't have any resentment for it at all. He didn't, you know, he didn't talk about it like that, but he played that. And you know, some of those songs now, it's a funny thing about, and this isn't unique to him, but it's a strange, funny thing about people from that great generation of music and the songs they wrote in their 20s and what they meant then. Like, he sang Homeward Bound, and Homeward Bound, when it's sung by an 84-year-old man, means something completely different. And it's, you know, and you kind of listening again, what did he think? This song now is a totally different song. And more emotional and more impactful in some ways. And it's so like these songs. So I don't think he's any like, he finished with Sound of Silence. And you know, they're great songs. I'm not saying they're not great songs, but he just played so many great songs last night, and it was, and the band, everything about it was beautiful.
It might be the high point then of your week's entertainment, because we were talking off air about how you were going to structure your weekend entertainment. From Paul Simon to the big dilemma on Saturday afternoon, the sporting gods have put Leinster versus Bordeaux up against Kerry versus Donegal. So people who listen to you every Thursday, Dion, just can't quite tell, are you more of a GAA man or more
of
a rugby man?
Figure it out.
So tell us the answer, because this will reveal all. What are you going to watch?
Well, I don't have GAA Plus.
However, you could go out somewhere to watch.
I could buy GAA Plus.
Or you could buy GAA Plus.
I could go. I might go out, and but again, I'm gonna, you know, where I live, it's going to be hard to find anywhere showing, Kerry Donegal. I might. I'll probably I would like to watch Kerry Donegal. I know it's not a knockout game, but I would like to watch that. But I probably watch the Leinster match.
I fully expect the answer to that to be, I'll just wait for the Championship playoff final, take it easy early in the afternoon. Let's watch this incredible story between Hull and Middlesbrough and everything that's happened.
Well, will the Middlesbrough even be in it?
There you go. Do you think there could be another twist in the tale?
Do we actually think there's going to be another one? I would have thought after Southampton's appeal today falling on deaf ears, and now that the fans are being, you know, given back their money, we're now all systems going.
Well, Hull are saying that, you know, they spent 10 days preparing to play Southampton.
And I think there's a fair point in that.
There is a fair point to it, but, you know.
But I think I read earlier on today that Hull were basically saying promote us directly as opposed to us having to play a game, which also to me would seem unfair that they don't face anyone in the final.
Yeah. What are you going for? Are you going for Kerry Donegal or Leinster Porto?
So I don't necessarily put this to the sporting gods putting games up against each other. To me, putting a match in May in Bilbao at 3:45 local time where the temperature is going to feel about 35 degrees is not the most sensible decision. But the Champions Cup finals have been going back to that type of time slot for quite a while now. I think the last one I remember that was later was the game in Newcastle, I think was 5:15, which would have been Saracens beating Leinster. But in recent years, they've always been a little bit earlier. I think the Dublin final against La Rochelle might have been a little bit later, but it's obviously in a difficult position where it's going to crisscross a lot of sport of the weekend. And obviously it's going to crisscross the Kerry Donegal game. I'm with Dion in this one. If this was a round two or a round three game in the All-Ireland series, it would have a lot more significance than this is a repeat of the All-Ireland final from last year, but the team who lose could still get a favourable draw in round two and end up going on a long run to the All-Ireland. So I don't know. It's not as make or break as it would be if it was a little bit later on. Then I think I'd probably edge towards the Gaelic football, but I'm watching the European final over that.
Did you see the reason for the 3:45 kickoff local time?
Go on.
So Joe Naughton put out a tweet looking for the reason, and basically a tweet about how if Leinster had a chance of beating Bordeaux, doing it in 35 degrees Celsius makes it a hell of a lot more difficult. And he's asking, why is it 3:45 p.m? And Gavin Muldoon, who's head of production at Premier Sport, replied, it's at 3:45 to suit French broadcasters' coverage of Cannes Film Festival closing ceremony in the evening. Ooh. Not a joke. That is extraordinary.
Yeah, that's incredible.
I did see some 8 minute standing ovations at Cannes yesterday, so obviously it's very important to them. Like, I would presume, all joking aside, the Cannes Film Festival might actually get a bigger TV audience than a rugby game would, realistically, if you're broadcasters in France.
Maybe. Depends who's up for grabs, I guess. Depends what sort of Cannes Film Festival it is. We're going to get sort of Maxime Lucu thanking the Palm d'Or in his speech afterwards for beating these Leinster.
Are you being a bit too dismissive of? I've studied the new structures in the Football Championship, and I don't think you want to be in round 2B.
I don't think so either.
No, I don't think you want to be falling in there. Open draw.
Yeah,
it's an open draw.
You're home or away. Could be anything. You know, lethal.
Yeah,
it could be. And look, it takes away a safety net then at that point.
Yeah, and then you're out.
But I still think if you were in an actual knockout tie and this was a repeat of last year's final, it would become must view. But to me, unless you're from Kerry or from Donegal or unless Gaelic football is your favourite sport by a considerable distance, I wouldn't be picking it over a European final.
You are going to start this evening though, Will, with the rugby, which says a lot. Says a lot about your own preferences.
My own biases here.
Yeah, but it's with Ulster, in fact, is where you're starting.
Yeah, their team's named ahead of the Challenge Cup final, and the big news for Ulster is that Rob Balakoon is fit to play. He's won his race to be back in contention for that Challenge Cup final with Montpellier. The Ireland winger, of course, has not played since the Six Nations when he injured his elbow against Scotland. It's a big boost for Ulster, who are missing a string of players. Nick Timoney will captain the side in Bilbao in the absence of suspended skipper Ian Henderson. They're also missing Stuart McCloskey, was named last night as the Irish Player of the Year, and Jacob Stockdale won't be involved. So the Ulster team in full. Fullback's going to be Mike Lowry. You've got Balakoon on the right wing, James Hume and Jude Postlewaite will be in midfield. Zach Ward, the top try scorer for this season, on the left wing. Jack Murphy, Nathan Doak are the halfbacks. The forwards will be Angus Bell, Tom Stewart, Tom O'Toole, the front row. Harry Sheridan alongside Cormac Isichuku, and then a back row of Dave McCann, who's fit again after his knee injury. Nick Timoney will captain the team, and then number 8 will be Juano Augustus. So that is the Ulster team to face Montpellier tomorrow, and they'll be captained by Billy Vunipolo.
This would be an unbelievable weekend if it were to be 2 wins for the Irish provinces. And over Richie Murphy's been speaking.
Not if you're Connacht.
Not if you're Connacht. It's a very good point.
Connacht are all in a Montpellier to make sure they're in the Champions Cup for next year. I think, again, I saw someone had this up online. If Ulster were to win tomorrow night, Connacht would then have to win the URC to knock the Lions out of the Champions Cup for next year.
Okay, I didn't realise that wrinkled the proceedings.
Yeah, so we'll put a bit of pressure on them.
Okay, but the flip side of that as well is if Ulster lose tomorrow, even though they're outsiders, there will be this picture painted of them, rightly so, that they were flying high for a lot of the season and they'll come away from it with absolutely nothing, not even Champions Cup rugby next season. So it'll be a desperately disappointing end to the year. But let's get to Richie Murphy.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, Champions Cup qualification on the line for Ulster tomorrow. If they win, they're in the top competition for next season. And Richie Murphy said earlier today it represents a huge opportunity for his team.
There should be massive excitement in here, and we're going to need that. We're up against one of the best teams in France. You know, whatever team they pick, they seem to be able to get wins on the road and at home. And you can see if any team that's sitting second to Toulouse and ahead of the likes of Pau, Bordeaux, La Rochelle, you know, anyone that's up in that level has a very good team. They're not a typical French team. Like, there's, you know, you can see the influence from some of their English players. Very physical, very big up front. When they get a rumble on, it's very, very hard to stop them. So defensively, we're going to have to be at our very best. But there is opportunities there, and you know, our attack has caused loads of teams a lot of trouble. So we'll be hoping to be able to do that again this week.
We'll have live updates for you throughout the evening tomorrow night on Off the Ball, and then full live match commentary of Leinster versus Bordeaux on Saturday. So bring us the latest on Leinster.
Yeah, well, Leinster have added Paddy McCarthy, who's fit again, and Jordan Larmour to their squad for the Investec Champions Cup final on Saturday. Leo Cullen will be revealing his team to face the defending champions Bordeaux tomorrow lunchtime. Leinster legend Eason Asewa was on OTB Breakfast this morning, and he's expecting a cracking final.
Oh man, I think it's going to be a doozy. I think it's going to be tight. For me, Gemmo and Harry are key. But everyone is, you know. A lot of pressure needs to go on those two. But, you know, Gemmo's, you know, one of the best nines in the world, if not the best nine on his day. So, you know, they'll figure out a way to make things click. If everyone else around them can stand up and just do their job also, if the forwards can do what those forwards are known to do and everyone else plays their bit and just does their job, you know, I believe, truly believe Leinster can get over the line. I really like and I enjoy watching Bordeaux. Their style of play, their counter-attacking ability, it's hard not to love. But Leinster need to, they know what's coming, but they've just got to control what they can control in their part of their games and just go out and do that. That, at the end of the day, is all you can ask. You know, the bounce of the ball or a ref decision, any of that sort of stuff that's creeped in at their... In the finals that they've lost, they've just got to control what they can control, and fingers crossed they can do it.
Eason Asewa there, and we'll hear a little bit more from Eason in our piece with Devon Toner, Rob Carney and Brian O'Driscoll coming up in around 20 minutes.
Clemsey hasn't missed a game all season, which is probably more than most Leinster fans.
Yes.
If he's getting up early in the morning to watching URC, he's a dedicated fan.
Yeah, absolutely he is. Now then, we have some news leaking from England before their squad gets announced at the World Cup tomorrow.
Well, Harry Maguire has announced himself he's not in the England World Cup squad. Manager Thomas Tuchel has been calling players today before announcing his 26-man group for the tournament tomorrow. Maguire has posted on social media this evening saying he's shocked and gutted to not be going and feels he can still play a major part for his country. One that's not confirmed, but just before we come in air, Adam Wharton, according to Ben Jacobs from TalkSport, says that he has been left out of the squad as well. I find that one almost more surprising than Maguire. A bit surprised by both, but I thought Wharton had a good chance of starting at the World Cup and not in, apparently.
The verdict is in from Zoe Maguire. Harry's mother has taken to X. Two-word.
I'm going to guess she said, Tuchel's right.
Two-word tweet. Absolute disgusted. She's not happy, Dion.
No, and I don't blame her. It is kind of shocking, I think, that Harry Maguire isn't there, and we won't know until tomorrow. But who are the centre backs going to be if Harry Maguire isn't in it? Like, I'm not sure who England. There's going to be somebody. There's going to be a surprise in there.
The starting centre backs are what, Stones now at this stage, and Gueye.
Well, Mark
Gueye. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Stones and Gay.
Like,
and
is Stones a bit of a risk given the amount of football he's played this season? And is it like, or maybe they just feel that he's fully locked
in? Maguire's been playing consistently for Manchester United as well. I would have understood this previously, you know, when Gareth Southgate continued to pick Harry Maguire despite the fact that he was, you know, basically a bench player for Manchester United, but he felt that his performances for England justified continuing to pick him. In this case, he's been a regular player for Manchester United all season and has played pretty well. And I would have thought with the experience that he brings, and given that he can play over the left-hand side of the centre-backs, I'm really surprised he didn't pick him. And I'm even more surprised if Wharton isn't in. I appreciate that's not confirmed yet, but Adam Wharton's been pretty central to them in qualifying. It's a strange one to jettison him this close to the World Cup.
Yeah, Wharton seems strange as well, definitely. And again, the kind of player that England always need in tournaments, and especially in a tournament like in America where you're dealing with heat and you want somebody who can, you want creativity and people who can keep the ball in midfield.
Yeah, I see Trevor Chalobah has been mentioned as well in the context of this World Cup squad, and energy was mentioned in that kind of line of thinking as well, just because of Harry Maguire and maybe the associations he has with not being very mobile at all. And in that heat, as you've referenced there, Dion, maybe that is a bit of a deal breaker for someone like Harry Maguire. On to Aston Villa then.
Yeah, well, look, celebrations on after last night. Very comfortable win against Freiburg, 3-0 in the Europa League final. That's Villa's first trophy in 30 years. But Unai Emery says he thinks it's the start of success for the club. Villa had already qualified for next season's Champions League last weekend, and Emery says that they'll be pushing on for more glory.
Of course, my dream when I arrived here was play Europe, play for trophies, to dream trophies. This is the first one we're achieving. We played before two semi-finals in Conference League and in FA Cup. We were close. And the experiences we are having, the experiences like today as well, is very important how we can as well get better. And of course, a lot of players with experience as well having trophies, some were not, or myself. But the most important how we are doing here. And makes sense with this club because after 1982, the club won Euro Cup, Cup Europe, was something they are missing it. The support, not for the Champions League or for something, is for a trophy. And achieving this one is something make us so happy, so proud of everything we are working. But we are not going to stop.
Yeah, it's continued excellence from Unai Emery as Aston Villa manager. Even kind of last night, even though it's a separate competition, I was kind of thinking, was he unlucky not to be in the Manager of the Year shortlist for the Premier League? We kind of almost take for granted the fact that they're gunning for top four, never mind top five spots, as a matter of course at this stage of their development.
Yeah, no, he's done amazingly well. And yeah, that is the kind of key thing, that they're just there now competing. You know, at one point, some people were talking about them being in the title race. Like, that obviously didn't happen, but they've just grown and grown under him, and he's brought such kind of progress, and now it's kind of consistency as well. So it's great, and it's a fantastic victory for Aston Villa, and again, the club with so many you know, Irish supporters. It's kind of great to see a club like Villa winning kind of big trophies.
Like, when it comes to the Manager of the Year, so I'm going to assume Arteta's going to win it because Arsenal just won the title for the first time in 22 years. Pep Guardiola winning a couple of cup competitions is kind of what was expected. So you would imagine that's like a par, maybe slightly below par season for him. I think you skip past the next couple. Michael Carrick, I don't think he's been in charge of Manchester United for long enough for him to be Manager of the Year.
He was nominated.
Yeah, I know he's been nominated, but still, it's too short a sample, I think, compared to the other managers. And then if you look at Emery, who else do you have? If you look at, say, overachievers in the league, would you go for Iraola with what he's done with Bournemouth? And maybe it depends what happens this weekend, if they get into Champions League or not. And probably what Keith Andrews has done at Brentford. I don't think there's any other shouts to be Manager of the Year outside of that.
Libris is the sixth
nomination. Yeah, okay, yeah, someone had a good season, yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a case we made that Emery belongs in that company. Apologies if I've glossed over this, but did we mention Cole Palmer earlier on? I'm just it looks like he's not going to be part of the squad either. Matt Law reporting that he's not going to make it. And Phil Foden looks set to miss out.
Is anyone
as well
in the squad? Hold on a second, we're not actually going.
Phil Foden, I can totally understand. Like, a few weeks ago, some of the English journalists were saying, oh, class is permanent, and look at Phil Foden finishing the season strongly. You're thinking, Phil Foden has done very little all season to merit any type of inclusion. I know Cole Palmer's had a kind of a disrupted season, but again, I'm surprised a player who was so important for them at the last tournament to be left out entirely. maybe this is just Thomas Tuchel going, right, I'm going to sweep with the broom entirely. We argued that Southgate was maybe too loyal to some of the players.
Yeah.
But still, I think you'd prefer to have Cole Palmer in your squad than not in it.
Yeah, maybe. I think Foden makes sense. Like Foden's had a poor season, and he's had very little impact for City when they've needed him. So I think that makes more sense. Mm. Palmer, he's been all right this season, but he does seem to be, well, yeah, Harry Maguire undermines this, but he seems to be judging a little bit on how players have done this season as well.
Ivan Toney looks set to be called up. That'll be his first call up since last June, so that'll be quite a wild card. This is turning into a very interesting squad ahead of time.
Yeah.
Thomas Tuchel, fair play to him for giving us.
Also, is the England squad the leakiest ship in the world?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, I'd say Morgan Rogers is a shoo-in, who you've got a story on here now as well, Will.
Yeah, he was named the Europa League Player of the Season, of course, in the Team of the Season as well, along with his teammates Emi Buendia, captain John McGinn, and goalkeeper Emi Martinez. Martinez will miss the last game of the season; he broke his finger last night. Nottingham Forest Morato, and also. So Igor Jesus were both named in that team of the tournament as well. But player of the tournament, Morgan Rogers.
Now then, on to Manchester United.
Yeah, look, Michael Carrick's been talking at his press conference this evening. He's tight-lipped about his contract situation, the length of it at least. It's expected he'll sign a two-year deal to remain as head coach after guiding them back into the Champions League for next season. Carrick says it's likely the confirmation will come after their final Premier League game against Brighton on Sunday.
Yeah, look, it was said at the end of the season pretty much, wasn't it? So we're not far away. A couple of days away, so yeah. I said to you the day about clarity is pretty much round the corner, and it is going to be now. But at this stage, I can't really give you any more.
Anything to add on this, Dion? This idea that we'd only get the true sense of Michael Carrick when he has to contend with Champions League football as well as Premier League football seems to be the most floated idea, and it's kind of hard to argue with that.
No, I think that's the truth. I think it's. You know, there is an argument to be made that it's a little bit of an unambitious appointment. Like, at the same time, you can't do anything but appoint Michael Carrick. But I don't think Michael Carrick is going to be a manager who's going to take Manchester United. They're not going to plummet to where they did under Ruben Amorim, but I don't know if he's going to take them to where, like, if they had Luis Enrique or somebody as a manager, that level of that challenge that he would be actually putting to the squad. And you know, I think it's kind of revealing in its own way how happy the squad are with him, which is great, you know, and that'd be compared to Amorim. But at the same time, it's I don't think he's the manager who would actually take Manchester United where they should be aiming to be.
Just a couple of more stories in tonight's news round from Will O'Callaghan. You're moving on to Arsenal because Mikel Arteta has been speaking today.
I've been flicking through Twitter for the last few minutes just to check what other England players have confirmed they're in or not in the squad at this stage. But yeah, Mikel Arteta admitting he didn't watch Man City's match against Bournemouth. City's draw against the Cherries landed Arsenal their first Premier League title since 2004 ahead of the final weekend of the season. Arteta admits he couldn't bring himself to watch the game with his players at Arsenal's training camp.
You don't realise it probably. It's one of the best feelings I ever had. I'm supposed to be here at Colney watching the game with the boys and certain staff because that's what they wanted, but I couldn't. I think 20 minutes later, before the game, I had to leave. I couldn't bring the energy that I wanted, and I think when it was their moment as well to watch it together, to be themselves and just see what the outcome would be. And I went home, I went outside to the garden, I started to build some fire, and I started to do some barbecue. I didn't watch any of it. I was just hearing some noises in the background, in the living room, and suddenly the magic happened. My oldest son opened the garden door. He started to run towards me. He started to cry. He gave me a hug and said, "We are champions, Daddy." And then my other two boys and my wife came over, and it was beautiful. Just to see that joy on them as well, that they are always with me, it was magical. And I think a minute later, Martin was with the video. "Where are you?" I said, "Come over." He said, yeah, guys, enjoy for a while and see you in a few hours somewhere in London. And it was beautiful.
I saw that quote written down earlier before hearing the audio just now, and it does read like something somebody would make up and write on LinkedIn about the sun coming out saying, "Daddy, we are champions."
Yes.
My 3-year-old child said, "Daddy, your leadership and professionalism really helped me through play school today."
And then everyone clapped.
What I learned about brand-to-brand sales from my son coming out into the garden to tell me we are champions.
The thing about it is that I'm 100% sure that happened. And also the constant theme of fire. I mean, a few weeks ago he said, "I'm on fire." And now he was building a fire in his back garden. I wonder, maybe he's broken every season down to a different element. Maybe next year will be the earth season. And the following season, when they're going for the 3 in a row, it'll be the wind season from Mikel Arteta.
There is a touch of the Eamon Cregans about this. So like Eamon Cregan would have said to Nathan, I think on the show a few years ago, that he can't watch Limerick games anymore. So he goes out to wash his car rather than doing that. And he comes back and listens to radio, checks the score, and he only ever watches it after the game is over because his nerves basically don't allow him to watch the game. Arteta almost made that entirely about himself. It was, "I wasn't bringing the right energy, so I went home so they could enjoy the game. And I went to make the barbecue," almost like he was waiting for his son to come out and tell him the result. He's a
too nervous
guy.
Just too nervous, I think. I'd say he was
he never strikes me as a nervous guy.
No, but maybe
I thought that was quite human, that the whole, you know, I know you, when you see it written down it's different, but I thought that was quite touching, the whole thing.
You ever been fully sincere here, Dion?
I am, yeah. Being totally sincere. No, I thought it was quite moving, you know, his son running out, and no, I thought it was lovely.
We have a bit of copy here on what's going on with the playoff final and what Southampton are doing, Will.
Yeah, well, Southampton have started refunding their fans today for the Championship playoff final. The club were expelled from the Wembley showpiece earlier this week after being despising on rival sides across the season. The FA also confirmed earlier they're now investigating the Saints. Middlesbrough will play Hull for a place in the Premier League on Saturday.
Now then, on to Dawson Devoy.
Yep, he's going to be called up for the Republic of Ireland's game against Canada. He won't be involved in the Qatar game next Thursday. He has represented Ireland previously at under-19 and under-21's level. He'll join up with the squad after playing 2 games for Bowes. Their captain will be involved for the games against Shamrock Rovers and Sligo Rovers. So pretty much aligns with what Hamer Hoggison was saying, that he didn't want to take players away from in-season situations when calling them up.
Jack Moylan, your boy.
I know.
What a debut.
Yeah, yeah. But he's not in the squad now.
No. It's been chopped and changed, I think, the entire squad. But for anybody who hasn't listened to our previous football shows, Dion's got strong Lincoln connections and was on the Jack Moylan hype train long before his hat-trick against Grenada.
Yeah, no, it was great. It was brilliant.
Really was.
Yeah, yeah. That's good news.
Do you want to bring us what Martin O'Neill was saying?
Yeah, he says he's refused to condemn the actions of their supporters, the Celtic fans of the weekend, who ran onto the pitch at the end of their Scottish Premiership title decider with Hearts. An injury time goal secured the host the trophy at Parkhead. Hearts have claimed that some of their players were assaulted. The Scottish government want to make pitch invasions illegal. And also Hearts have, I think, made a very reasonable argument, Owen, where they've said that the referee panicked and ended up calling off the game before the match was finished. And they're looking for a refixture at this stage. Again, I don't know how long this is going to drag on for.
The same thought did cross my mind at that moment, but like, to use the cliche, common sense did actually prevail. Nothing would have changed in those 10 seconds, I'm sure, but it was... Because the thing about that moment, not to go back to all the way back to last Saturday, that the scoreboard was kept on Sky for ages afterwards. Mm-hmm. So everybody working on the production was obviously expecting the game to resume after the pitch was cleared, and when that became impossible, you're like, what actually happens to the rest of this game? So, I don't know. I think Hearts fans have a reason to at least question it, but I think it would be faintly ridiculous to go back and do the whole thing again.
I think expanding pitch invasions would be ridiculous too. You know, it's... I know in England, especially just post-COVID, they became quite... hairy a lot of the time, but it's... actually, when you asked me earlier, one of the things I was considering doing sporting-wise this weekend was going to Parnell Park.
Oh, yeah.
My son likes, you know, you can run onto the, you can do a pitch invasion.
Yes.
We went to see Dublin Kilkenny there last year, and, you know, just running onto the pitch afterwards is, he's like, that's, you know, let's do that again.
As an Offaly fan, if Dublin beat Kilkenny on Sunday, pitch invade away. I will encourage your young lad to go onto the pitch and run on. If it's a third win since the 1940s against Kilkenny, and Kilkenny get knocked out of the Championship, invade away.
I will invade the pitch. I probably won't go, but if I do go, I'll invade the pitch.
What? How do you feel, Will, if they were to hold up their end of the bargain and Offaly failed to hold up their end?
That would be painful. Yeah. Like, to lose to an already relegated team in the last game with nothing to play for, on the crest of a wave of these good results that Offaly have had. My suspicion would be that Offaly will win and probably labour a little bit with the win in St. Conlon's Park, and Kilkenny will do what Kilkenny do and beat Dublin when their backs are up against the wall.
Well, O'Callaghan, thank you very much for tonight's news round. Dion will rejoin us for the football show after 9 o'clock tonight. We're going to take a quick break and then our special on the 9 finals that Leinster will now have played in the Champions Cup is coming up. We'll have Brian O'Driscoll in studio, we'll have Devin Toner in studio, and Rob Kearney also in studio. Back in a sec.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.